Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Arnie Lukes here at the Crossroads, and I'd like to welcome Yves Potvin from Canada. Welcome, Yves.
Yeah, good morning.
No worries. Pleased to have you. What's the weather like?
It's been nice. It's been mild. It's about one or two above. That's above freezing.
Okay, good.
So, and the whole week is going to be like this. I don't think we're going to get a winter,
Okay.
except Newfoundland. Except Newfoundland.
Yeah.
20 feet of snow.
This is to the east. This is to the east of eastern side of Canada, Newfoundland, yeah?
In the Atlantic, yep.
That's wonderful, actually, to think that here we are talking and we're on opposite sides of the world, and it's face to face. I can see and hear you, and we can engage. It's just really is a wonderful time for communication, for talking, and for also opportunity to just share our thoughts with our viewers. I think that really is so important. Now I'm just going to lay some groundwork here for today's topic: regeneration, Douglas Social Credit. The Michael Journal is the principal journal of the Pilgrims of St. Michael, and this is their website. And if you go to their archives, you'll see that you can actually pick up the old journals from 2013, 2018. So your personal development, Michael, is actually providing quite a lot of very good information. They've also got books that you can buy through their website. But I did want to point out that you've also got, in order to build your knowledge and build yourself up as an individual, you've got the encyclicals. And so the church has been writing these encyclicals for a long time, and the different popes, and it's to explain things. And it really is wonderful, the research and the work that they've done for building up, edifying the individual, so that they can actually go forward. They can be serious about their Christian ministry. And finally, the ALOR website and our library, and we've got about 500 books there, and I would say that perhaps three quarters of them concentrate specifically on social credit. You'll see Geoffrey Dobbs, who was a botanist who knew Douglas. You'll see Douglas is there with nearly all of his writing. Butler here to the left, who was the national director for a long time, the Australian League of Rights. So those writings are most important because they're for edification, they're for building up, they're for actually renewing your mind. Now, I want to take this opportunity, Eve. Okay, I've presented that. Is that the website itself, the websites have search facilities, and if you wanted to, you could actually put a search engine, download a book, and then put a search engine on your desktop, and then search the contents of the book. And I think that that is really a really important tool, because the research actually opens up something that you may miss. You may glance over something, whereas the search facility can actually bring it quite vividly to your mind. I've got a search engine open at the moment on my desktop, and I'm looking at the agreement, the Bretton Woods Agreement, which of course was centralizing the banks and then handing that power over to the IMF, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund. Bretton Woods, that was an agreement. And of course, most free nations are no longer free because they've handed this power over to central banks. And it was done discreetly, and it was done one nation at a time. But the ramifications of it are that the actual financial system is not working for the benefit of the individual nations. It's actually for the benefit of the, if you like, these central authorities, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and things like that. Your thoughts, Eve?
Well, it's so much to think about. But there's one message. We've got to correct the financial system. We've got to correct the financial system. I think that's the word. I do apostolate work. I do a lot of businesses. I'm going to do that. I'm retired now, so I can do a lot more businesses in different towns and cities. And the first thing I do is we've got to correct the financial system. Don't you think so? Mm. Well, most businesses say, yes, nobody throws me out. Mm-hmm. The odd one will throw me out because they're, you know, they're maybe they're on the left, I don't know, but they're not interested at all in talking about that subject. Mm-hmm. But most places that I go to, whether you're you sell smokes or you smell or you sell computers, you sell furniture, everybody is kind of open. Mm-hmm. To the idea, oh, you have a solution, we can do this, we can do that. So basically, that's right there is a good start on what we can do in the future. Mm-hmm. So it has to be pushed. The idea of fixing the economy must be done. And you don't go. You'd have to go a little bit, maybe even far away. When you mention about back in the olden days, our last magazine in the Michael Journal, Father Coughlin. I'm sure you heard about him.
No,
Father Coughlin.
Yeah.
Hmm? He denounced the banking system. He was born in Canada.
Yeah.
He's a priest, uh-huh. And then he wrote a bunch of books, a bunch of booklets. And the United States, I read here that in 1932, he was a supporter of presidential candidate Franklin Roosevelt. Uh-huh. And because Roosevelt had said that he was going to fix the financial system. Uh-huh. But guess what? He turned around pretty quick. When the financiers showed up at his door, uh-huh. He wasn't going to change anything.
Yeah.
So he kind of was upset over that. And it was called the New Deal. That's what he was going to implement.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah.
And so even as far as 1932, we can name many dates that we've been fighting. But in the meantime, people are getting educated. Mm-hmm. Some people are getting the message. They may not be doing something about it right away. But one day, this system will collapse. It has to. Something is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I am praying that it'll happen soon, because without social credit, Christianity will not survive.
Yeah. Regeneration is the topic, and Douglas social credit, essentially an outworking of a different perspective, a different take on the world. Now, I mentioned the Bretton Woods Agreement, which was unifying, if you like, financial power in the hands of the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and that type of thing, Bank of International Settlements. So you consider that, but there's also the politically coming together under one title. It's not just financial, it's also political, and that is under the United Nations. Now, in our archives, we've got documents from the Club of Rome, which are really steering a lot of the policy initiatives. There are certain groupings out there, Club of Rome being one of them. There might be the Council for Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or many others, think tanks, Carnegie, whatever. And they direct this thinking towards a one world government. And the actual outworking of it is the United Nations. Now, United Nations, the history of the United Nations, one of the principal players came out of the American administration, Alger Hiss. Alger Hiss was a communist, and he defected back to Soviet Russia. He was a Russian spy. He was responsible for the establishment. Now, the establishment of the United Nations. Now, in the archives, we've got a book called Witness by Whittaker Chambers, and I've actually taken the foreword that Whittaker Chambers has written that explains why he did what he did and why he defected. And it's titled A Letter to My Children. It's the most beautiful written document because he explains just how deeply immersed he was in propaganda, in brainwashing, in the strategy of communism, of totalitarianism, and bringing about world government. This is, don't think for a second it's not their objective. It certainly is. The United Nations is one of their weapons. Finance is another to bring about world government. And so you've got to look at it and say, well, okay, we've got monetary monopoly, we've got political monopoly. How do we actually bring these back? How do we bring these back? And that's where regeneration starts. It's about actually bringing decentralizing power back from back from these monopolies to the individual. When you go to do something and you choose to do it yourself, what you're doing is you're exercising your freedom. Whereas the monopolies are all about planning what you can and can't do. So any plan they come up with directionally is incorrect, because the plan is about you doing something that someone else tells you to, rather than you taking the initiative and managing the situation yourself. It's one of freedom. Freedom has to be exercised every single day. Regeneration starts with a turning away from central planning. And right now there's this huge push, and it is psychological, don't think it's not. The mainstream media has been weaponized to psychologically manipulate us. This huge push, Agenda 2030, climate change, sustainability. It's all about world government. Now, whether it's true or not, and this to me is the question, how are you going to adapt? How are you going to manage climate realistically? Are you going to manage any variability in weather by a United Nations mandate, or are you going to take a jumper off or put a jumper on? What are you going to do? Manage it locally. You don't need to pay another tax. You don't need a world government for a variability of half or 1 degree. You just manage it. It's ridiculous to think that you need world government to manage weather, but that's what's on the agenda. That's what's on the table. So in order to turn away from that central philosophy, that centralizing policy, regeneration starts with you accepting that no, I don't want a plan. I'll make my own adjustments as I see fit. I'll make my own adjustments. I'll exercise my freedom every single day. Eve.
I only have to think about what the money system, the bankers, the international financiers, the elites, which are mostly Illuminatis and Freemasons, they've got on their American dollar bill, for example. You look at the pyramid, everybody knows about it. They don't really know what's going on with it, but the Latin words. One of them is Novus Ordo Seclorum. That's the New World Order. And then you have another one. I'm gonna try to read it. It's we've achieved our goal with success. So they in Latin, when you look at it, you can say we've achieved our goal with success. So the New World Order. So back in 1931, they were already celebrating. They were already talking about Agenda 2030, Agenda 21. They didn't call it that then because they do things as they go along. But what happened is that because of the power that they have in the money system, they're able to finance anything they wish. If I buy a house, I have to get a mortgage. And of course, I have to pay over 25 years and pay taxes and pay interest and so on and so forth. You don't even have to worry about that. You just take the money and achieve, for example, the LGBT movement. Okay, it's going to cost to do this in the United States and Canada. It's going to cost, $100 million or $100 billion, whatever it is. And they'll just finance it. They've got the money. They just invented. They just created out of nothing, and they create as much as they need for whatever goal they have. So whatever goal they have, whether it's a war, whether it's you can imagine. And I was talking to somebody this week. I was doing a postulate work in a little town called Fergus. A lot of Scottish there. They celebrate Scotland every year. And I was talking to someone, and he was saying, you know, we have saucers. There are saucers. The government is hiding that from us.
Flying saucers.
Flying saucers.
Okay, yeah.
So I said, okay, I'm sure the government is hiding a lot of stuff from us. I wouldn't be surprised if they developed a saucer in the last 100 years, over the past 100 years, and they keep it hidden somewhere because they got the money. They can do all the research and they can build all the facilities with the money they got. They got an eternity of money. Mm-hmm. That's endless tree, they call it, the money tree. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised in any of these things that, but you know what? I keep going back to the Virgin Mary's message in Don Gobi. They'll collapse like a house of cards. They don't know it. You know, she's going to wait until it's the right time when they think they've achieved the official goal. Yeah. And then she's just going to blow them away.
Yeah.
So God is not leaving us alone. He has given us, but it's whose side you want to be on. What side do you want to be on? You want to be on Satan's side? You want to be on God's side? So we'll have to fight. And I mean, these people are very powerful when you think about it. These people are just, that's why when I do my apostle, I wish, you'll never do nothing. You'll never forget it. You'll never achieve anything. I don't care. I want to keep going. Yeah. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, but I'm sure it will happen one day. It's got to. Yeah. It's got to collapse somehow.
That's right. And in my view, what they're trying to do is build the Tower of Babel. It's not unprecedented. It's actually recorded in Scripture. And, of course, it caused when the tower being built, God caused it to come to nothing. And I just want to touch on this searching that I've just done. I had a look for a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's actually a book about the establishment of the Federal Reserve by private banking institutions. I think it was around 1913. I could be wrong, but I think that's roughly when it is. The Creature from Jekyll Island. I'll cut across to the website just so that you can actually make a point of seeing it yourself. There it is there, and this particular yellowy, greeny gold green there, Creature from Jekyll Island, second look at the Federal Reserve. I think it's important to understand that a lot of research, if you're interested in developing your thinking, don't think that it's just this is a cakewalk to work your way through the dilemma of what's actually going on. It's not. It's not easy. There's research to do, there's history to understand, and there's the subversion of language. In the Social Creditor, the journal, I did a search on that, on two adjectives, on this saying. It's called the essential adjective. Essential adjective. Now, Jeffrey Dobbs writes about it in Religation. In our archive, you'll see Religation there. It looks like the word religion, but Jeffrey actually makes a point of adjusting the pronunciation, Religation, so you would know what it meant. It means binding back. What do you actually believe? And you bind it back to the things on earth as it is in heaven. But in the Social Creditor, I did a search of the essential adjective, and I found it in it and the confusion that is in the meaning of words. And we see it in many facets in it, an attempt to actually confuse our thinking. You could call it cognitive dissonance, confuse our thinking. In Australia, there are such words as safe schools, and the outworking of that policy is indoctrinating of our children. You might look at, say, the words marriage equality. Now, the word quality is about discernment. It's about identifying the most minute details. If you're an engineer looking at the construction of a machine, quality is all what it's all about to the finest degree. You can't get a successful machine without understanding quality, discernment to the finest degree. So when you say marriage equality, what it actually means is no quality at all. It means that there is an undoing of that word, and so you've really got to come to grips with it. Free love. There's nothing free about love. Love is about committing yourself and being responsible and accountable to that person that you do love. And that it's mutual love and cooperation. It's not free. And yet, it's an emotion, it's not a price, you don't buy it. And so the actual study of the word free and the word love both originate, as I understand, from the word love. It's like saying love, love, if you follow the old English back. It's to me, it's fascinating, the distortion of words and the undoing of our thinking. And it's very, very important if you want to begin, if you like, regenerating yourself, and you can only ever regenerate yourself first and then perhaps take it out, is to clarify your thinking. And that's why research, reading, studying, Michael Journal is there, the archives are there, the encyclicals are there. It really, really is important that it starts with one person, that person being you. And then from you, you may be able to guide others. But to just place it as a, well, I'm right, you're wrong, that won't work. You've actually got to look at most of the parables. They place a situation, as I understand it, where it's actually under opposites are brought together. The story of the vineyard and the denarius, you know, it was brought together that the vineyard owner, he chose to be generous, but at the same time, the denarius was enough for a person to live on for one day. That was why it was a denarius for everyone. There's so much deeper meaning in the parables, in the teachings, and that's why the encyclicals are so good, so powerful, because they can guide you and take you into that deeper meaning of things. That's why research is there. And the discipline, if you like, the word disciple comes from discipline. It comes from choosing to do these things yourself, placing you under discipline, under scholarship, to do the research, to achieve the understanding so that you can take it out. And that's, to me, is regeneration. It's all about the individual. It's not about a great plan. There is no plan, because your calling is your calling. It's between you and God. And you have to work that calling through. What does God want me to do? And it may be something completely different from what God wants me to do. It's different. You are different than me. We're all unique. And that calling is a beautiful part of recognizing creation, the uniqueness, the innate value of each single person. Eve.
And that's probably why people are revolting against the government, against systems, against religions, against, because they're not free to think. They're not able to do the make their own decisions. Uh-huh. When you mentioned before the words being vitiated, it didn't only come from, well, it comes from the elites. It comes from the organized crime people, you might call it. But over the past years, you're looking at 100, maybe 1,000, 2,000 years, you have a prayer, Pater Noster, which is the Our Father who art in heaven. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the middle, it says, Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie et dimitte nobis, debita nostra. So these words, debita, means debit. It means due. It means, but in English, when you look at it, it doesn't even mention anything about debt. It is not translated right. It's funny that they haven't changed the translation in the Latin word, but they've changed the English or French words in the prayer to completely take the idea of debt, of you owing things, or take that out. It's your sin, you forgive your brother, you know. And I think this is a big point in my book, because I've even thought of changing the prayer myself. Uh-huh. So when we get in a group, but it should read, when you have the last part there, in French I can say it, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
yeah,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. Uh-huh. It has nothing to do with, yeah, you can forgive your neighbor, you can do this and that, But the real meaning that that Jesus invented that prayer, mm-hmm. and he told them to pray this prayer. Mm-hmm. Forgive the debts that you owe, mm-hmm. that the people owe you, as you forgive the debts that people owe, you owe them, kind of thing.
That's right. I think it's. So. I think that there's a fascinating point, and I discussed this point even this last week with my mother, and that is that the word trespass includes debt. The word trespass actually includes a lot more. And what she was talking about, alluding to, was that if you are given charge of something, say you're in charge of a company, and you have to be responsible and respond as this person in charge, it's actually not to exploit your situation. It's to be responsible. It's actually to be accountable, so that you're actually not causing anything unnecessary. You're actually being a good steward to the environment. This is why trespass includes so much more. And I guess it's the history of not just law, because law is there, but Christianity actually preaches equity. It preaches equity. It means that there's a higher law. And so I think the word trespass, it may have an undoing, but at the same time, it may actually expand the meaning of not just debt, not just monetary debt, but yeah. more than that. It's about being responsible. It's about being giving your neighbor their due, giving that time, even to your children. If your children need your time, you've got to make the effort. This to me is all part of the regeneration. It's about saying, well, there are higher laws, and I'm going to pursue those higher laws. And yes, debt is one of them. And yes, the financial system needs to be defeated, no question about it. But the thing is that society needs regeneration. The individual needs regeneration. And it's only by doing everything that you can to this higher law, to this standard of this higher law. And then, of course, you are an example for others to follow. They choose to follow. They, in a sense, follow as in mimic, as in do what you're doing. Not necessarily to follow you as a leader, but rather to see your example and say, yes, that is worth emulating, that is worth copying, that is worth mimicking. And if anything people are very good at, it is mimicking. It's actually even how the newborn sees the mother and mimics the facial expressions and the hand gestures and everything else. This is how we learn. It's beautiful, actually, thinking about that. And there, to me, I come back to it each time. The regeneration always starts with the individual. I can't point my finger and say, you, no. I've got to point it back and say the regeneration starts with this bloke right here. And it starts with me looking deeply at myself and what can I do? And then to do all that I can. Because I sort of asked myself this question, and it's not an easy question to even consider. How can I expect to stand in the very presence of God if I have not done everything that I can? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, the two great commandments. How can I even begin without loving the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength? I have to work on me first. And so my life has to be an outworking directionally towards my salvation, towards being in the actual presence of God. That to me is the Christian commission. And it's what the early Christians understood when they were baptized and the threat of death, of being fed to the lions. They overcome that fear because eternity was more valuable. It was of a greater prize. And so regeneration in society, incarnating, bringing about God's kingdom in earth as it is in heaven, incarnating our faith, bringing about God's kingdom in the things that we do. And it starts with the one, and then of course it moves out from there. So it really, really is a challenge, but what a wonderful challenge. What a wonderful challenge. We're given this opportunity, and we don't know We don't know how many days we have. We've got to use every day as if it was our last and the only day that counted. That to me is what's before us. We're just ticking over 30 minutes, Eve. I know this is a big subject, but I'll give you ask for final thoughts and closing comments, please.
Well, like I'll say the last few words. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our due, what we owe, what we. It's something that the people will need. If they don't get that, they'll get it themselves. They'll go get it in your home. They'll get it at your work. They'll steal from you. They'll steal your car. They'll steal. So I'd rather do it in a peaceful way, which is maybe giving people a dividend, apply social credit. Love your neighbor. Yeah, it does starts with you here. Mm-hmm. And this is where we have to start. And we have to propagate this beautiful social credit doctrine by Clifford Hugh Douglas. And we're going to use every means, including the Michael Journal, the apostles. We've lost a lot of soldiers, but we're slowly building some up again, because I can see the little churches are getting more filled up a little bit. Uh-huh. So I don't know if that's it's a positive sign. I'm sure it's positive, but I'm sure, I don't know if it's a guaranteed trend. So
no worries.
Hopefully it is.
That's right. This is our hope. This is our prayer. And it doesn't matter the odds, because the prize is so great. Thank you, Eve, for this forum. I've really enjoyed it. Regeneration. Douglas Social Credit. This is Arnie Lukes.
Thanks, Arnie.